you for visiting HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football and men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles, and welcome to our 10th edition of the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. Well, that was an interesting game last weekend at Kinnick Stadium, huh? Iowa jumped out to a big lead early and just managed to keep the foot on the gas for four quarters and got a huge bounce-back victory over a top-five Michigan State team. The final score in Iowa City last week was 37-6. Again, Iowa jumped out very first series, got a touchdown, then got a three and out from the defense, able to get a field goal, make it 10-0. Then, of course, the big play that happened in the game, which took place in the first quarter. He had the Tyler Sash interception. It was 1-3 that Kirk Cousins threw on the day. And Sash actually lateraled the ball to cornerback Micah Hyde, who then took it 66 yards for Iowa touchdown, which made it 17-0 after the first quarter. To me, that's really where the game ended up being won, was because if that game is just 10-0 after one quarter, I don't think Michigan State's on its heels quite as much as it was after that play had taken place. Now with Iowa up being 17-0, the Hawkeyes basically dictated how this game was going to go. And, you know, yes, Michigan State was down 17-0 to Northwestern the week prior, but Northwestern and Iowa are not the same team, not even close. That just right there told me that, you know, from that moment on, you just knew Iowa was going to win the game. And then you throw in there that Bay got two more touchdowns in the second quarter, made it 30-0 at halftime. One of those touchdowns was a pass to Adam Robinson. It was a great play by Ricky Stainsey to keep it alive, you know, use his feet to keep the play alive. And then Robinson just ran a wheel route and, you know, he ended up being wide open. It's not something that we've all been accustomed to seeing him do this year, but nevertheless, it's another part of his game that he showed, and it ended up being a big play. And really, that first half was as good a half of football as I think we've seen, if not definitely this season, maybe even, you know, in the last few years, to tell you the truth. Because, you know, you go back to last year, yes, Iowa won 11 games and won the Orange Bowl, but other than the game against Iowa State, you know, and maybe I guess the fourth quarter against Indiana last year, there weren't really any moments where you just felt that, okay, they're just, everything's clicking on both sides of the, in all three areas, actually. You could even throw in special teams, although there was a missed extra point. Iowa would extend the lead to 37-0 after a really nice touchdown catch by Marvin McNutt in the third quarter. It was 22 yards. Stainsey just found him open in the field, and then he broke a tackle, had nothing but green in front of him. Michigan State did get a touchdown on the very first play of the fourth quarter, didn't get the two-point conversion, and, you know, from there, you know, Iowa was able to just kind of coast to a victory, although there was a few things that were kind of intriguing there, to say the least, at the end of the game. One, the fact that the starters were in as long as they were, you know, I know it's not something that Kirk Ferentz is going to talk a whole ton about, but at that point in time, I didn't see the point in keeping all of those guys in, especially now we're hearing, you know, rumblings of a possible deal with Adam Robinson regarding a concussion that he may or may not have. Again, that's not something I'm confirming. This is something that has been going around the rumor mill, if you will. They got a little dinged up after the game last week against Michigan State. Now, you know, you can debate whether he should have been in as long as he was or not. You can say the same thing about guys like Ricky Stainsey and Marvin McNutt and Darrell Johnson Culianos, and, you know, the list goes on and on. And heck, even there was a point that it looked like Julian Vanderbilt, he had a serious injury, but from all indications, it sounds like he's okay. At least he made it sound like on Tuesday when we got a chance to talk to him that he's okay and he should be good to go this week. The other thing that was really interesting about this game was what you saw out of the defense. You know, just putting all the stuff regarding Norm Parker aside, just the fact that Iowa opened or came out with a 3-4 look, especially on third down situations that Michigan State faced. They had a 3-4 look going there. And it's very interesting because Iowa has been very thin at the linebacker position this year. You know, James Morris and Shane DeBona both started last week, you know, in place of Jeff Tarpinney and Jeremiah Hunter. Now, Tarp was able to play a little bit in those third down situations along with Lance Tillison. Those two guys are out there along with Shane and along with James. And there were some instances with Tyler, too, although he did get hurt. And Ferentz actually announced on Tuesday that Nielsen's done for the season for all intents and purposes. He said weeks at his press conference. But, you know, when there are only four games left in the year, I guess five now because Iowa's bowl eligible. And you consider that it's a neck injury. Something tells me that when you've just well, the first time you hear that, you're thinking, okay, he's done for the year. And sure enough, that's definitely going to be the case. You know, this is a spot that Iowa's been thin at all year. I mean, we mentioned Tarp and Hunter both being hurt, and now you have Nielsen. Oh, those are your three starting linebackers this year. Hey, you throw in there, Bruce Davis had a torn ACL after the Arizona game back in September. You know, James Morris is going to get the start again at middle linebacker this week. It's going to, he's obviously a guy that, you know, his energy, just talking to some of the guys on the team, one of them being Mike Daniels, he was just raving about the energy that James brings to the field when he's out there. And he described him as somebody that just loves the game of football and, you know, is going to be given 100% every time. I think it'll certainly be interesting to see how that shapes out. Right now, what's interesting is Shane DeBona started an outside linebacker last Saturday against Michigan State. They have him backing up Morris on the two deep this week for this game against Indiana. They have Troy Johnson starting on the outside where Jeremiah Hunter usually is. And then I'm trying to think where the other position is. It would probably be Ross Peterson getting the start ahead of Tyler Nielsen because I think Nielsen was on the two deep initially before Ferentz announced his injury on Tuesday to everybody. So, you know, and who knows? Maybe there's a chance that DeBona moves over there or Johnson moves over there. Maybe there's a chance that Jeff Tarpinian is able to play more. Maybe even Jeremiah Hunter. You know, Ferentz has indicated this week that Jeremiah Hunter has practiced the last couple of days. And, you know, I think it'd be a huge thing for Iowa to be able to get him back, especially going against the Indiana team that you know is going to be throwing the ball all over the field. You know, those are the things when you look at this game coming up, two things really stand out. One is just from an offensive perspective with Indiana, just the arm strength that Ben Chappell has as a quarterback. You know, he could get the ball anywhere. He's got really talented receivers. You know, I didn't think they looked all that great last week in their game against Northwestern. And Indiana is a team that I just look at them as a team that's coming into this game desperate. You know, the Hoosiers are 4-4. All four of their wins are non-conference. If you saw their non-conference schedule, it's a joke. I mean, I won't elaborate on it too much here, but it's just it's a complete joke. Big Ten play, 0-4. I honestly think the heat is on Bill Lynch here. Then you throw in there that this is the Hoosier senior day, you know, because they moved their home game against Penn State to Washington, D.C. So this is the last game that Indiana is going to be playing in Bloomington this year. You know, this is the last home game that Ben Chappell is going to play. This is the last home game that all those seniors are going to play. I almost look at this as an all or nothing game for Bill Lynch and for the Indiana Hoosiers because they don't win. I don't see how they're going to a bowl game if they don't win this game. I just don't see it. You know, you look at the rest of their schedule. They play Wisconsin next week in Camp Randall. They're not going to win that game. Penn State, that game is basically a home game for Penn State now because D.C., I think, is only like 4 hours from State College. And they got to play at Purdue, which, okay, maybe they can win that game given Purdue's injury situation, but it isn't West Lafayette. But, yeah, the one dynamic there is just seeing how Indiana's offense looks against this Iowa defense. The other thing, too, is going back to the Robinson situation. If he can't go, here's an interesting statistic for you. The last 2 years that Iowa and Indiana faced off, and the Hawkeyes have won both meetings. The first time it was 45-9 2 years ago in Bloomington. And then last year in Iowa City, it was 42-24, included that absolutely ridiculous fourth quarter comeback. You look back at that, or look back at both of those games. 2008, Jewel Hampton was a true freshman. Yes, Sean Green got over 100 yards rushing that day, like he did every game that year. Jewel Hampton also rushed for 119 yards himself, and he had, I believe, 3 touchdowns on the ground that afternoon. Then you go to last year's game, and you have Brandon Wager as a true freshman running back. He had over 100 yards rushing, and he had 3 touchdowns on the day. The guy backing up Adam Robinson right now is a true freshman running back named Marcus Coker. What's not to say that he can't get 100 yards rushing if he gets called on this Saturday? Let's say Robinson can't go, and Coker's the guy that gets the start. What's not to say that he can't get 100 yards rushing on this team? It'll be interesting to see. You got a great lineup for you here today. Got a good friend of mine, Tom Kakert. He covers Iowa for Hawkeye Report, which is associated with Rivals. He'll be joining us here in a little bit. I also have Dustin Doperak. He covers the Hoosiers for the Bloomington Herald Times. Those will be our guests. And then later on, as I do every week, I'll give you my picks for the Pick'em on HawkeyeDrive.com. If you'd like to participate, you have until 5 p.m. Central on Friday to submit your picks. Just go to our homepage, and then you'll see the link, 24 Heisman Road. That's our football archive. I have a link for the Pick'em page. Has a list of 10 games. Email your picks to HawkeyeDrive@gmail.com. Remember to give a score with your Iowa-Indiana pick. I will use that to break any ties that we may or may not have. And when we come back, I'll be joined by Tom Kakert from Hawkeye Report, and later Dustin Doperak from the Bloomington Herald Times. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeDrive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'm pleased to be joined this week by my good friend Tom Kakert. He covers the Hawkeyes for HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Love to do it.
All right. Well, the first big thing here that happened this week, Coach Ferentz announced that Tyler Nielsen is going to be out for a substantial amount of time. And the depth of the linebacking position is already thin as is. How does this impact what the Hawkeyes are going to want to do on Saturday, especially against a team like Indiana that, you know, is going to throw the ball around?
Yeah, it's a big impact because Tyler was that guy on the outside who could cover in space. Might have been Iowa's best coverage linebacker this year. And now they're going to be without him. You're already down several other players. You've got Tarpinian possibly playing, so you'll have another body there. Troy Johnson will be around. Jeremiah Hunter's still up in the air. So, you know, if they get Hunter back, then the impact's less. But if they're without Jeremiah and without Tyler, I mean, that's significant, especially if Tarpinian is still limited.
Well, yeah, and then you talk about last week when we did see Tarp play a little bit, and they ran like a 3-4. Yeah, and do you anticipate them maybe using a little bit of that again this week here?
I think so, because you look at the numbers going into this game, and Indiana is not running the ball. Without Willis in there, he's injured, he's not going to play. So they're not running the ball. I think they're dead last in the Big Ten in rushing. They're going to throw the ball a ton. So you're going to probably see some more Greg Castillo. You're going to see some more of this, 3-4 alignment probably with whatever Iowa has left at linebacker. And I think that's how you got to attack it is try to do things that way, because Indiana's going to throw it probably 50, 60 times on Saturday.
Now, looking back at last week's game against Michigan State, just how big do you feel that was for the team to be able to bounce back like it did and then set itself up in a position where, you know, they win out, they have at least a share of the Big Ten title?
Yeah, that was huge because they had to get back. They had, the Wisconsin game, I was afraid maybe that would linger a little bit. It certainly lingered with fans, and the players were able to put it past them, come out and played their most complete game all year. They played from the first minute to the last minute as well as they've played all year in all three phases, and Coach Ferentz has said that. And now they're in a position where if they win the next four games, they are at least a co-champion of the Big Ten Conference. And where they go bowl-wise will depend on what happens with everybody else, with Wisconsin in particular.
And one thing that was talked about here as well, Ferentz was talking about Coach Parker and how he was at the stadium on Saturday, as we saw, but he would not be making the trip out to Bloomington. Do you see that maybe impacting the defense a little bit more at all? Or
not really. I think, you know, like Coach Ferentz said after the game on Saturday, Norm just kind of chirped in a little bit. He wasn't a backseat driver. He was there more as just, I think it was more for him than anything else, a spiritual lift. But, you know, anything they can get from Norm Parker the rest of the way is a positive. But I think they'll be fine. These guys know what they're doing defensively. It's just a matter of going out and executing.
Yeah, I know. It seems like every week we're talking about Ricky Stanzi and just the performances that he's had. But when you look at it through eight games, the fact that he has 19 touchdowns to two interceptions, I believe last year it was 17 to 15. Just what do you feel that says about him and just the leadership that he's been able to provide?
He's been terrific. I mean, you're looking at almost 10 to 1. I mean, I think Kellen Moore might be the only guy in the country that's got a better touchdown to interception ratio, and that might be pretty close. I think they're probably close to equal. So he's in rarefied air right now, and he's playing the way you want a fifth-year senior to play. He spent the time. The big thing, I think, for him was he spent that time in the film room analyzing what he did wrong. I think he's also learned. He's matured. He's not making the risky throw. He'll take that dump down to Adam Robinson. He'll take that check down to Allen Reisner instead of trying to make a tougher throw in space.
It's even more, you know, intriguing to see that when you consider that this time a year ago when they played Indiana, he had five interceptions.
Yeah, and then he had that's the thing with this kid is he doesn't have a memory about things. I mean, he remembers his mistakes. He learns from them, but he's able to move on from them really quickly. I mean, because as bad as he was in that game, he came out in the fourth quarter, boom, Marvin, boom, Darrell. And, you know, I was on run out and get, 24 points in probably about 5 minutes. I mean, it was unbelievable that a team that was on the doorstep of going down 21 points in that game ended up covering a spread that I think was like 15, 17 points in that game. So it's pretty remarkable how things changed so quickly in that game.
And a couple more questions here to get you out on. First, you look at matchups here at Iowa and Indiana. The last 2 years, Iowa's gone up against the Hoosiers and won. Both times you had true freshman running backs go for over 100 yards. You had Jewel Hampton in 2008 and then you had Brandon Wager last year. Obviously, Adam Robinson is going to be getting the bulk of the carries, but if Marcus Coker does get that opportunity, let's say Iowa builds a substantial lead, do you see the possibility of maybe him, you know, making it three straight?
Absolutely. I mean, if Iowa can have a 30 to nothing lead, like, or whatever they had, you know, like they had this past weekend against Michigan State when they just really jumped out on, I think you'll see Coker get a ton of action in the second half. I didn't think he got enough action maybe this past week, but that's kind of my view of it is Coker is going to – he'll have a shot at it. And Indiana's rush defense has been the worst in the Big Ten this year. So I think people are running like 167 against them a game. So that's – it lends itself to this happening for the third straight time.
All right, my final question here. What do you see as being the big keys to this game for Iowa in order to, you know, continue the winning ways here and not have a setback after losing to Wisconsin?
Yeah, I go back to one of the games where Indiana beat Iowa at Indiana, where Iowa just kind of came out flat. Iowa's got to come out with that same level of intensity. If they do that, they continue these fast starts, and Stanzi avoids the mistakes that he had in that last game, Iowa should win this game pretty comfortably. And, you know, the 2-3 touchdown kind of game if they play the way that they played this past Saturday. Now, they've got to go out and do that, but I think they're set to do that. I just don't think Indiana can stop Iowa's offense, and I think Iowa's defense can do enough against Indiana's offense.
And throw in there, too, the fact this is the first early kickoff they've had in over a month.
Yeah, it is. It'll be nice for us because we can get out of there quicker. That makes for a long night otherwise.
Yeah. That's Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, thank you very much. We'll be right back. back to the Talking Hawks podcast exclusively on HawkeyeJive.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'm pleased to be joined this week by Dustin Dupirak, who covers the Indiana Hoosiers for the Bloomington Herald Times. Dustin, how are you doing this week?
Not too bad, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. I guess first I'll just ask you here, what you sense being the mindset with this Indiana team coming into this game 4-4. Obviously, the four wins are all out of conference. They're still seeking their first Big Ten victory. Just what seems to be the mood of the team right now coming off of the game last week against Northwestern and entering this week?
It's always tough to tell with these guys because just the way they kind of express emotion in interviews and those sorts of things. I mean, it's a really, I don't want to say it's a tight-lipped group necessarily, but, Bill Lynch kind of, really sticks with you one game at a time. They're all the same, don't get high, too low theme. And the guys really don't back off of it at all. I mean, it's really hard to get them off page because we try, just to kind of get them to say something that's not the exact same thing that they always say. They appear to be, relatively well-grounded from what I can tell. But it's tough to say. I mean, obviously they've lost a few really tough games and, games that they were expected to at least, compete in, if not win, and games that they needed to win, really. If they, want to be in position to go to a bowl game, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them right now. With the four games they have left, obviously with Iowa and Wisconsin, these next 2 weeks, I mean, it's going to take a major upset to get one of those two. And then you got to play away from Memorial Stadium against, obviously, a Penn State team that's not as good as it has been in recent years, and then Purdue. But, they don't have an easy situation in front of them, but they don't show necessarily the desperation yet. But it's tough to tell mood-wise. I mean, you got to think they're a little bit broken up after losing a close one last week to Northwestern and also getting pounded by Illinois, a week ago. And, again, not getting a Big Ten win yet. But, they don't seem too down, but, yeah, you got to think it's affecting somehow.
Now, one thing, I believe you were the one that first mentioned this on Monday. Ben Chappell, the quarterback, he came in when he talked to you guys wearing a walking boot. What's the status with him?
Well, he didn't practice yesterday, but he has said, and Lynch has said, that it's not an issue that could cost them Saturday. They didn't even list him on the injury report that came out on Tuesday, so that would, you would presume that to be a good sign. Chappell wouldn't tell us whether it was an ankle or a foot injury or even what it was, but he said from the game that, he's banged up, and he's taken a bunch of hits. It's strange. He's only been sacked 7 times, but especially in recent weeks when James Brewer's had injury concerns, he's faced a lot more pressure and, been hit a lot immediately after throwing the ball. So he's pretty beat up. I mean, he's, the ankle and foot aren't the only thing that are hurting him right now. But they say it's not going to be a long-term issue. Lynch said, they just decided to, they needed to give him a rest and heal up a little bit. But he said he expects him to be back in practice today. He'll go around 4:30. So they say he should be fine, for long-term for Saturday. But, he's definitely going to be playing with some soreness and some pain.
And just how much would you – or how would you describe the success that Ben has had as a quarterback this season? Because it seems like his numbers are a lot better. And he, from what I saw the game against Northwestern, it seems like he has more of a command of the pistol offense this year.
Well, definitely than he did. Mm-hmm. Like last year. But he was solid last year. He was very good. But from the beginning of this year, from spring practice, he just had this, he came in and he kind of saw an aura around him, really, that he didn't see before. He had the offense just so cold. He just had basically everything down. He knew where every throw was supposed to be. And he can make every throw. I mean, not that he didn't always have a good arm, but he just seemed so in sync with his receivers since the spring. Just knew where they were going to be, knew where he had to throw it, knew what plays to call, could make calls at the line if he had to. He's just played like a fifth-year senior quarterback for the most part. He can make every throw, and on crossing routes, he's been really good. He's been on point most of the year now. The last couple of weeks, though, have been a little bit of a different story. The numbers have still been good just because they throw so much. I mean, they've become so reliant on the passing game, especially with Darius Willis out and for the year, and James Brewer missing a couple games. They've had to rely on the pass so much. And obviously, they got some really good receivers and Dan Chappell, so it's become such a big part of the game. I think they're almost calling pass plays 2-1 at this point. He put up big numbers last week, mostly just because he threw 54 passes. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't sharp. He was not sharp last week at all. He missed a lot of throws he usually makes. Lynch said a lot of that was because he was having to change motion when he was in under pressure. But, I mean, there were a couple that he had time to throw and he just missed. So I think part of that is you're seeing him get beat up. I mean, you're seeing that have an effect on him. He's not saying it will or it's affecting his mechanics at all, but he's a tired guy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, a pitcher in the seventh or eighth inning, mm-hmm. you know, when he's throwing 120 or something like that. I mean, Chapel's got that level of soreness, and I think his arm's got to be tired just for many balls he's thrown this year. So I think it's starting to affect him. You're not seeing a guy who's as sharp as he was against, say, Michigan or the teams in the middle of the beginning of the year there.
And just with last year, obviously, you know, we both witnessed a really crazy game at Kinnick Stadium where Indiana jumped out to a commanding lead, and then suddenly there was an interception that Tyler Sash had, and then from there it just seemed like Iowa, you know, had complete control, especially from the fourth quarter. How much has that game been brought up, you know, when you've gotten the chance to talk to Coach Lynch and just with the players? How much have they been talking about that game?
Not much. I mean, a little. It's been asked, and I've actually been on a couple other radio shows this week. Everybody's asking the same question about that, whether they've circled mm-hmm. that on the calendar. And they really haven't, and it's less because it doesn't stand out too much, more so because they had so many of those games last year. And it ended in those sort of fashions. I mean, there was no Tyler Stash pinball interception in those games. But, you know, there were other, you know, just really disappointing, heartbreaking situations. I mean, they had, you know, they were going toe-to-toe with Michigan, and they fell behind and got the ball back. And lost it on a controversial call on a, you know, interception in a simultaneous possession situation. They were up 28-3 on Northwestern and fell apart in that game, lost 29-28. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Iowa team, you know. And there were some others after that. So it's almost kind of hard for them to circle one of those games on the calendar for next year because there was just so much of that emotion and disappointment in games that they were close to having but didn't get last year. It's been talked about in this way. I mean, at the beginning of the year, Lynch said that they were 12 plays away from having a really good season last year, which meant really a bowl game. And that was one of the games he pointed out. He obviously pointed out the interception, but also a couple of the big plays to, you know, made a big, huge touchdown passes to Mark McNutt and Johnson Koulianos. And so he pointed to a lot of that. And I don't think they kind of circled this and said, we need revenge or anything like that, because really they need revenge for a lot of games last year. And they just don't tend to talk about it in those terms. I mean, some teams do, some teams don't. It's not that every team avoids that kind of discussion, but Indiana makes a particular point not to talk that way. So, you know, it's not something that's been brought up. I mean, they talked about some of the successes last year and just the fact that they can watch on film and see the same things from Iowa schematically and mostly personnel-wise. So it's useful to watch film from last year, but that's about as far as they've gone with it.
Just a couple more questions for you here. You talked about the importance of this game in terms of bowl eligibility, especially with this being Indiana Senior Day. How important do you feel this game is to Bill Lynch as far as, you know, his status as a coach and just what, I guess, seems to be the talk around Bloomington with him, you know, whether he still gets a chance to, you know, be around for another year or, you know, is the seat really hot for him out there? Just how would you describe that?
Well, the talk is everywhere in terms of fans and everything like that. I mean, there's, you know, when we've done, like, live chats and just, you know, comments on our blog and everything like that. I mean, it's everywhere. Radio show call-ins, apparently, not for his radio show, but for others done about, you know, the program. I mean, it's everywhere. The fans are talking about it. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people are questioning it, and a lot of people are saying that really this should be the end of it, which is a tough situation because Lynch is probably one of the, you know, one of the nicest, most genuine guys in college football coaching. But obviously he's in a situation where he's won one Big Ten game each of the previous two seasons. He doesn't have a win there yet. He's got, I think, an 18-27 overall record, 5-23 mark in the Big Ten, hasn't been to a bowl game since that first year. And he's coming into the final year of his contract. Just, I mean, that situation obviously means that you kind of got a guy in jeopardy because it's, I mean, do you let him coach out the final year of his contract without an additional year? That's obviously an issue when it comes to recruiting. So these next couple games, you would have to think he needs to show some progress, some improvement. I don't know if he necessarily needs to go to a bowl game, but he at least has to do something to show, okay, we're heading in the right direction here. Fred Glass has talked about it a few times and said in the past that he's not going to have a litmus test. He's not going to say he's got to win this many games to keep his job. He's going to judge on subjective criteria that says, you know, is this program moving forward? Look at improvement in the players, look at improvement, look at things like recruiting, look at attendance, look at all sorts of things that judge. charge whether the program is actually moving forward. And, you know, at this point, you know, I called Fred earlier this week, and he just said he's not going to, you know, he thinks the speculation is premature. He's not going to fuel any of the speculation. So it's tough to tell exactly what he's thinking right now, but the fan base is certainly asking about it. Now, as far as this team's concerned, you got to think if they do win this game, he's safe. Just simply because, I mean, this is the type of game, if you beat a top 25 team, you know, you're showing improvement by definition. This kind of changes the whole narrative of the season completely if they were to get this one. But, you know, I don't necessarily see signs that one of these upsets, you know, is in the cards right now. And it, so kind of the last two games, in a way, become playing for his job. You have to think he at least needs to get one of them, you know, to stay around. Because, I mean, an 0-8 Big Ten record, and considering the four wins that they got, the non-conference, they played, there's nothing there that tells you that this program is definitively moving forward.
And I'll just get you out of here on this. With Saturday's game, obviously, I mentioned Indiana played Iowa really close for three quarters there last year. What do you see being the keys in this game for the Hoosiers in order to come out with that upset victory?
Well, I mean, they got to be able to throw the ball better, and they have to defend closer to they have been, like they have been the last couple weeks as opposed to the early games of the season. They showed an inability to stop big plays, and obviously that was a big issue last year against Iowa. The last couple weeks they've been tackling a lot better. They've been a lot more sound. I mean, they're not going to be dominant, shut you down, sack you 10 times in a game, pick off four passes. Defense, they're just kind of not of that caliber, but they have to be able to keep the offense in front of them, not give up big plays, you know, make sure that the other team has to earn their points. I mean, the other team, you know, the opponents are going to score, Iowa's going to score points. They just have to make sure that they have to work to get them, and not just running up and down the field. And offensively, I mean, they need Ben Chappell to be closer to what he was the first 4 or 5 weeks of the game of the season. They need for him to be able to complete a bunch of passing routes and you know, stand in against a really good front four and still be able to make throws when he's dealing with pressure. I mean, they're just, you know, they have to be able to keep him off of them to a greater degree, because what teams have been able to do recently is rush three and drop eight and still get pressure. That's not a tenable situation for any offense. I mean, if you're only facing three pass rushers and you're facing eight defensive backs, you're still getting, you know, you're still facing pressure. There's not a lot you can do. You're going to be in trouble, and they have to make sure that that's not the case. So, you know, so they can't throw the ball around a little bit and at least make it a close game.
That's Dustin Dopierak from the Bloomington Herald Times, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Talking Hawks podcast, exclusively on HawkeyeJob.com. I'm Brendan Stiles. I'd like to thank both Tom Caker of Hawkeye Report and Dustin Dopierak of the Bloomington Herald Times for coming on as my guest this week to discuss the Iowa-Indiana game. Before I give you my picks in this week's HawkeyeJob.com Pick'em, just a reminder, you have until 5 p.m. Central on Friday to submit your picks to me. All you got to do is go to the Pick'em page on HawkeyeJob.com. You have the list of 10 games. Submit your picks to me at HawkeyeJob@gmail.com. And remember to include a score, your Iowa-Indiana prediction. I will use that to break any ties that may occur. So without further ado, I'll give you my picks. We'll just go with a quick rundown here. Again, all the rankings I give are from the AP poll, not the BCS. We'll start with Illinois and Michigan. Both teams are 5-3. The Illini are 3-2 in the Big Ten. Michigan's coming off a third straight loss in the Big Ten to Penn State last week in Happy Valley. The Illini are just clicking on all cylinders right now. Losses have been to three really good teams. One convincingly the last 2 weeks over Indiana and Purdue. And Ron Zook has had Rich Rodriguez's number the last couple years. I believe Illinois won both games by 25 points each of the last two seasons against Michigan. I like Ron Zook and his Fighting Illini to get to win number 6 and become bowl eligible. I'm going to take Illinois. Number 22, Baylor. Number 19, Oklahoma State. Meet in Stillwater. The Baylor Bears are 7-2, coming off a huge win at Texas last week. Oklahoma State is 7-1, coming off a nice bounce-back victory over K-State last week, despite the fact that Justin Blackmon, a wide receiver, was suspended for DUI. He should be back this week for this week's game. I like Baylor, even though they're on the road. I like the Bears because I love their quarterback. Robert Griffin is playing absolutely great football right now, and he's a big reason. Him and Art Briles, the head coach, are big reasons why Baylor is having the success that it's had this year. Plus, you throw in there, you know, you go back to 2 weeks ago, Oklahoma State played Nebraska, gave up 51 points to that offense. I can't even begin to imagine what Griffin's going to do to that Cowboy defense. I like Baylor in this game. Number two, Boise State hosts Hawaii in a WAC showdown. Here's the reason why I have this game. If you just look at Hawaii's record really closely, the Rainbow Warriors are 7-2 overall, 5-0 in the WAC. That's really good. They're not going to go to the blue turf and beat Boise State, though. I think Kellen Moore is a big game, and I like the Broncos at home. Number nine, Nebraska is 7-1, 3-1 in the Big 12, coming off a huge victory over Missouri that basically all but clinched them a spot in the Big 12 championship game next month. Traveling to Ames to take on the Iowa State Cyclones, who are 5-4, have won two straight, and are a win away from bowl eligibility. If you remember, last year, Paul Rhodes took his team into Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, and the Cyclones came out with a 9-7 victory, caused 8 Nebraska turnovers in that game. So I think Iowa State could give Nebraska all it can handle, especially with this game being at Jack Trice. But with that said, I like the Cornhuskers to get payback and continue their winning ways. I'm going to take Nebraska to win this game. Joe Pa's going for win number 400 on Saturday when Penn State hosts Northwestern. The Wildcats are 6-2. I mentioned the win over Indiana last week. Got them bowl eligible for the fourth straight year. This is going to be a third straight year Northwestern plays in a bowl game, which has never happened in the program's history. So hats off to Pat Fitzgerald on that. I just think this is too tall of a task for Northwestern to go into Beaver Stadium and win this game, especially when we don't know what the situation is going to be with Dan Persa. It sounded like he left the game last week against Indiana with some sort of concussion or symptoms of a concussion. Meanwhile, Penn State, we mentioned before, they're coming off a huge victory at home last weekend over Michigan. And it just seems appropriate for Joe Pa to get win number 400 in Happy Valley. I like Penn State. The big showdown in college football this week, number 4 TCU, number 6 Utah, both are undefeated in the Mountain West. Both are undefeated overall. Both are in the top 5 in the BCS standings right now, and I think the winner of this game is definitely going to play in a BCS bowl game because they're probably going to stay in the top 4, which automatically guarantees them a spot. I think TCU is a slightly better team. I like the Horned Frogs to go into Salt Lake City and get out with a victory. Number 17, Arkansas. Number 18, South Carolina. Both teams are 6-2. Razorbacks are 3-2 in SEC. The Gamecocks are 4-2 in the SEC. Arkansas suffered a big blow this week with Greg Childs being done for the season. He's a go-to wide receiver for Ryan Mallett. Suffered a serious knee injury. And, you know, you throw in the fact that this game is in Columbia. South Carolina is a team that played Auburn really close, beat Alabama. You know, this is going to set – I like the Gamecocks to win this game big, and it's going to set up a huge showdown next week in the Swamp against Florida with the winner going to the SEC championship game representing the SEC East. I like South Carolina at home. Number 5, Alabama. Number 12, LSU. Both are 7-1, 4-1 in the SEC. The game's in Death Valley, and it's at night, so it plays right into LSU's hands in that respect. The Tigers have a good defense, but I think Alabama's offense is just going to be too much to handle. Not to mention the fact Nick Saban knows this environment because he was a former LSU head coach. He knows what he's bringing his team into. I just think the Crimson Tide are going to be too much for the Tigers, and they're going to move a step closer to a huge showdown the day after Thanksgiving against Auburn, which I believe is going to determine one of the teams in the national championship this year. I like Alabama to go into Death Valley and get out of there with a victory. Number 13, Arizona. Number 10, Stanford. Both are 7-1, and both are 4-1 in the Pac-10. Now, if Arizona wins, have a realistic shot at winning the Pac-10 still. You know, they obviously need some help with Oregon State losing a game because that's their one loss. But if Arizona were to go into Stanford and win, it's going to set up a huge game, another huge game on the day after Thanksgiving with the Wildcats going up to Eugene to face a Oregon Ducks team that's currently number 1 in the country. All that said, this game's in Stanford. Andrew Luck, clearly he showed last week in a showdown against Jake Locker. He is the best quarterback in the Pac-10. He's the best quarterback in the country, in my opinion. As far as his arm and everything, obviously Cam Newton is probably going to win the Heisman this year just based on what we're seeing. But Andrew Luck's a guy. He's going to probably be the number 1 pick in the NFL draft. I really like him. I really like Stanford, especially because this game is in Stanford. I'm going to take the Cardinal. And now finally, 15th-ranked Iowa Hawkeyes go to Bloomington, take on the Indiana Hoosiers. This was a wild game last year. Indiana jumped out to a huge lead. It looked like the Hoosiers were going to hand the Hawkeyes their first loss of the year. And then Tyler Sash came up with one of the most ridiculous interceptions you're ever going to see. Absolutely pinballed off three or four guys into his hands. He took it the distance, changed the complexion of that game. Iowa then got four fourth quarter touchdowns to win 42-24. This time around, the Hawkeyes are 6-2. Became bowl eligible last week. They're definitely going to play in a bowl game. They're still in the hunt for a Big Ten championship here. Indiana, I mentioned how they're a 500 team, winless in the Big Ten. I expect the Hoosiers to come out swinging. This is probably the biggest game of the season for Indiana, and it might be the biggest game of Bill Lynch's coaching tenure there. Because if they don't win this game, I'm not so sure if he's going to be able to survive past the season. You know, because you look at the rest of their schedule. I mentioned it before. They play at Wisconsin. They play Penn State and D.C. And they play at Purdue. This is the last home game. This is the last chance to convince the people in Bloomington that he's the guy for the job. I think the one thing that Iowa really needs to guard against in this game is an early letdown, especially after coming off a huge victory over Michigan State last week. And the reason why I say that is the last time Iowa played an early kickoff game, and by early I mean 11 a.m. Central, noon Eastern here, was Ball State back in September. Last four games, the Penn State game is at night, and then the last three games have been mid-afternoon kickoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how Iowa comes out considering the early start time. Throw in there the fact that, you have the injuries at the linebacker position. It's going to be interesting to see how Chapel tests that with his arm because you know Indiana is going to be throwing the ball. With all that said, I think the Iowa defense will hold its own. And right now, Ricky Stanzi is just in another zone. You look at I mentioned last year's game. He had five interceptions against Indiana. Four of them came in the third quarter. Since that time, from the fourth quarter of that game on, when he hit Marvin McNutt for that big touchdown in the fourth quarter, from that moment on, Stanzi has 24 touchdowns to four interceptions. And he has 19 touchdowns and two interceptions this year. Think about that. I think he's going to have a big game. I think the offense is going to have a big game. And to me, it really doesn't matter who's in the backfield, whether it is Adam Robinson, he's able to go, or you have a Marcus Coker, or you have a Brad Rogers. I think any one of those guys can have success running the football in Indiana this week. And I like the Hawkeyes to win this game by double digits. I'm going to say Iowa leaves Bloomington with a 34-17 victory. So it's Iowa 34, Indiana 17. That's my prediction. Again, thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the Talking Hawks podcast on HawkeyeDrive.com. Again, we offer a 3-day free trial. It gives you access to everything on the site, including the stuff that is listed premium content. If you enjoy your 3-day free trial, we offer monthly subscriptions, $9.99 a month, yearly subscriptions at $89.99 a year. Both subscriptions have recurring payments. Again, I'd like to thank Tom Kaker of Hawkeye Report and Dustin Doperak of the Bloomington Herald Times for coming on this week. This is Brendan Stiles signing off now. And if you're going to the game at Memorial Stadium on Saturday in Bloomington, have a safe trip there and back. Enjoy the game, everybody. And we'll be back again next Thursday.